Here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not, cause the dreams bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Close to the ones here today.
Funny story. Now, ladies out there, this one is, this story is not really probably your cup of tea. And any men that are, well, squeamish, this might not be so funny. So I'm warning you ahead of time. It's not so funny, but it was just told to me after all these years. I had a conversation with Daryl, and he said, "Did you know?" And I said, "Oh, my goodness. No, I didn't know." And so here it goes. So if it starts getting bad, then, you know, go to another episode. Don't tune me out. Please. I'm sorry. I told you, you are not going to like me sometimes. Okay? You've been warned. You know, I'm sorry, folks. Anyways, here we go. Daryl's father, George, was getting up there in years. And he was gonna, you knew, and he knew it, he was gonna be dying pretty soon. Like me, I know I'm dying, so it's okay. And you just have to accept it. That's the best word I can think. Okay? And George still thought, though, that he should have the same respect as he did when he was younger as a hitman. To me, he'd always be the hitman. You know, I respect. Anyways, but to anyone else, he was just an old man, a cranky old man. So the next time you folks see someone out there, an old man, think about when he was young and virile and handsome and had muscles instead of all those wrinkles and a smile, you know, and didn't smell like he smelled. I'm starting to smell, for goodness sake. I need a shower. Anyways, okay, I'm digressing. I got to take a shower right after this, folks. Thank goodness they don't have smell-o-vision yet. Okay, that's weird. All right, I just said that out loud. Anyways, so he demanded respect like the old days, but the kids nowadays, they don't respect. So he's in the grocery line, and he made the bagger mad. Because he probably said something like, "I want him double bagged," or something. You know how old folks are. They're demanding. And he was scary in his day. The way he talked, he would use his tongue all the time and talk slow. "What I'm going to do to you now is, I'm going to break that middle finger because you thought you could use that finger on me. Put it out there, otherwise I'll break two." That kind of, you know, tough guy. Anyways, everything with the tongue and slow. Believe me, even back then, I would walk in a bar with him, and all eyes would go to him. He was a mouth breather, and it was like he was just about to pounce on you the way he carried himself. And I was the one at the time that should have been worried about. But anyways, back to the story. This bagger didn't like him. So what does he do? He goes out and slashes the old man's tires. Or George's tires. What? Real tough guy picking on an old man. Of course, George called the police. And George knew all the cops and they knew him by reputation. If it wasn't, they knew him personally. Well, this one cop that showed up, he personally knew him. He hadn't seen him in years, probably 10 years, when the cop was like a rookie, but he knew him. And he said to the kid, "You're going to pay for those tires." "I didn't do it." "I'm not going to take you in. I'm going to give you a choice, young man. Right now, you have no idea who you just slashed the tires to. And, of course, deny till you die. I didn't do it." "Okay. Here's your choice. His son, right now, is in Germany, in the army. And I'll be honest with you. I'm afraid of him, and I'm a cop. He's that crazy." The kid says, "How much did the tires cost?" The cop said, "Your life or the man's tires. That's all. You choose. You choose. Better yet, we'll call your parents and tell them what you've done." "No, no, 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 no." And the cop said, "Yes, we're calling your parents. I'm not taking you in. So there ain't going to be a record of this. And I'm sure if your parents pay for these tires that you'll learn. And if, pray to God, son, that his son doesn't find out." And the cop was genuinely scared, and the kid could see it. Oh, my gosh. He probably thought, "What have I done? I picked the wrong guy to be tough guy with." And he was scared of Daryl. I'm like, okay. Daryl's telling me all this, right? Well, the next time Daryl called home, of course, George told him all about what happened. First question out of Daryl's mouth, what was it? "That's right. Did the kid pay for the tires? That's a yes or no question, Dad." "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he paid. And he did, and Officer such and such went to the parents and said something really odd. Daryl, what's going on?" And George told him everything he said. Daryl gives us, "I don't know." "Well, that cop is terrified of you. What did you do?" He started laughing. He said, "It wasn't me, it was Gabe." And Daryl told him what I did, right? And what happened. Then Daryl told him everything, the whole story. It was Daryl and I, and of course our little puppy Ron. We were all drinking at a local watering hole, and the cop in question was sitting at the end of the bar. He was there too. And Ron was already drunk, like Ron always is. But Ron's our friend, and we keep him around. And, you know, Ron lies through his teeth, and you can't ever trust what he says because he always is, you know, he's just Ron. I love him, though, you know. I had to drive Ron home first. We had had enough, okay? And so, I mean, really, I didn't want a DUI, so I stopped drinking, and I had to drive Ron home because he was snockered, and then drive myself. And Daryl was making time with the bartender, and, you know, Daryl, they call, what do they call that in America? He was what they call in America a man whore, okay? And so he stayed behind, and normally I would make him come because you never leave anyone behind, you know? And he was good and drunk now and saying things. He was being boisterous, you know, maybe too much. And I've been there. Funny story, again, one time I was looking at this girl and he wanted this girl. I put a cigarette, because at that time I was smoking, and I put a cigarette in my mouth and he came right up to me and smashed it right in my face. Stop looking at that girl. She's mine. Well, he later married her, and the only thing good out of that marriage was his daughter, and she's a wonderful girl. And anyways, back to the story. He's going to get that bartender. Just as we were leaving, three guys came in, pretty big, and you know, they passed us, and officer so-and-so was at the end of the bar. So Daryl thought he was safe because he knew officer so-and-so knew his father. So he's getting more and more boastful. They were overhearing Daryl, because he was loud, he was drunk, you know how you get, trying to put the moves on this girl. And I'm sure before that she's being polite and she's heard all this stuff before, but she also knew that drunks tip big, trying to impress her. Well, these three guys were close enough on the bar, they could hear what Daryl was saying to her. And he was embellishing a bit, you know. The fish is always bigger, you know, than it really is. And how great he was, and this is going to be the best night of her life if she would just submit, blah, blah, blah. Okay, a drunk. But, and they saw that how drunk he was. And so they started taking advantage of him being that drunk. Big man, big man. And Daryl's confidence and ego wouldn't allow that kind of talk. Yeah, what are you three going to do about it? You're going to need more than you guys. Well, the conversation escalated to the point Daryl kind of sobered up and quick. Smart that he knew that he was in trouble. A lot of guys wouldn't know. I've been so drunk I didn't realize I got beat to my knees and say, "That's all you six got?" You know, anyways, I'm digressing. Because one of the guys says, "Yeah, okay, tough guy. We'll wait till you go get outside and we'll meet you there when you leave. And you have to leave. Daryl thought for a minute. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God, I'm alone. I'm dead. So, and Daryl is a smart man. He really is. I got to give him credit. I've seen him work his way out of a lot of tight situations at work and whatnot. And even in life, I've seen him stay calm and work his way out of them. But this time, I think he's screwed. Between you and I, folks. What's he going to do? I wonder what was going through his mind. What to do? What can I do? I got it. I'm going to hit the head, he said. And I'm sure the bartender said to the guys, nothing inside here. If you're going to do it outside, that's fine, but nothing in here. Now, remember, officer so-and-so is at the end of the bar off duty, and he's dressed in the civilian clothes. He's probably thinking there was no cell phones back then. What am I going to do? I've got to stop this somehow. Well, there was a phone in the hallway between the men's and the women's bathroom. He called my number, and I had just got home. I didn't drop Ron off. Ron asked if he could sleep over, and I said, ugh, God. Okay, you're sleeping on the couch, and I'm not giving you a cover. I'm being mean to him. And, you know, I've babysat this guy since the fifth grade, you know. And I love him, but, you know, enough. Anyways, I said, and if I hear that TV on Three Stooges, you're out of here, dude. He thought he was Mo. And he would watch that day in and day out. He knew every episode. Come on. Anyways, how about if I just turn it on, but I turn off the volume? No sound. Can I still watch that? Oh, God. I started laughing. What else could I do? He's my freaking friend. All right. If I hear it, that's it. You're out of here. I mean it, Ron. I need sleep. I got to work in the morning. And now the phone rang. Who the hell is calling me at this late at night? Who is this? Daryl. It's me. Daryl. Man, there's these three guys here, and I don't have long. I'm still at the bar, and they want to kick my butt real bad. Can you help me? I said, you're at the same place, right, Daryl? Yeah. I'll be right there. Give me 10 minutes, and I'll be there. Thanks, Bob. So now, Daryl knew I was coming. He kept talking, his tough guy talk. I mean, smiling the whole time, I'm sure, with his piercing blue eyes and bloodshot at that, and the blonde hair. And he was in good shape because he was in the Army. Now, he knew I was coming, so he laid it on thick. Remember, an angry man, what happens if you lose your head? Your butt goes with it, that's what. I came through the front doors, nobody saw me, and I went and snuck into the coat room. Oh, yeah, I had my puppy with me, and Ron and I were peeking around the corner trying to get his attention. And he kept looking at the door, but we were in the call room. All he had to do was turn his head just a little, but I'm sure he was so scared waiting for us that he had tunnel vision, and you know how that works, folks. You can't see left or right when you have tunnel vision. And I'm sure he was getting worried. Finally, he saw us. And with a big smile, he pays his bill and says something real loud. I've got to, to the bartender, I've got to go take care of these three loudmouths. I probably won't be back in. I'm sure the bartender got worried then, and officer such and such. Don't go out there. No, no, it'll be okay. I've been trained for this, remember? Daryl was in the Navy, and now he's in the Army, home on leave. He's a career man. He's also very brilliant for calling me. Thank you, Daryl. And first Daryl passed us, and he didn't even look our way into the coat room. Went out the doors, and then the three big guys were right after him. Man, you could tell they wanted to do some damage. Well, it was three against one, and Daryl's kind of short. He's only 5'7" to 5'9", somewhere in there. He's not a big man, but he's a big man, and he's very thick and muscly. Anyways, and they were going to mess him up, I'm sure. And then it was me and my puppy, Ron. As soon as I got through those doors, I dove on the biggest one, and with my momentum, I jumped on his back and smashed him into the asphalt, and his face was messed up. And next guy that I went after was the leader. And while I was getting up he tried to kick me in the face. Okay, now I'm mad. You shouldn't have done that. Now I'm mad. I was goofing before, but now I'm mad. I started beating on him, and I didn't let him up. I saw red. He was on the ground, and when I finally got up from beating him, the other two started running away, and I wasn't done. He made me mad. They left their friend there? Really? You should die with your friends. Never leave anybody behind. So I was kicking him in the ribs, in the head. I was beating the snot out of him. You know how I get, folks. I'm sorry, but it's a fight for life. That's how I won all my fights. I never lost a fight because I wasn't fighting that man. I was fighting my stepfather for life. You know how it is. And they were messing with my friend. They actually called me out. Daryl, my friend, actually called out to me and started grabbing me softly and then a little harder and a little harder. He knew how to work me. He said, Bob, he knew what to do to wake me up out of my rage. And then back to reality. And then he got quiet. Bob, he's done. Oh, okay, let's go. So we got in my car, and we pulled out of there and turned down my ticker. And we made a right, and then we made another right at the light, And remember now, please, the same officer that is with George, Daryl's father, is warning the bag boy about his crazy son that's in the army in Germany. And this is the same guy who was sitting at the end of the bar, as far as he knew. As far as he knew, Daryl did all that damage, and he never knew that it was me. And Daryl never knew how afraid that cop was of him until the day he warned that bag boy.
Hey, Ma, please be quiet. I'm trying to do a podcast down here.